May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Yesterday at the studio, we had a wonderful day of creativity with Thomas Roach. There were some 20 people there over the course of the day, and by now, 30 people from the congregation have been involved in the project. So that's about half of our sort of average Sunday number, and which is wonderful. And as of next Sunday, we're going to have some opportunity to do some creativity downstairs following the service. And so we hope to keep bringing that number up and keep getting more and more people involved. We're now at the stage where you need to have no talent at all to get involved in this project, okay? No talent. That's where we're at. It was a wonderful day, but I will say after a hectic week, it did make for a rather tight time frame for sermon writing, and so I am very grateful to the folks over at workingpreacher.org and especially to commentator David Luce for much of today's sermon. After our gospel reading today, we may be scratching our heads wondering, in what way is God like an unjust judge? This parable, I don't know if it seems this way to you, but it kind of sets up this sort of comparison between God and the judge, as if just like the widow had to press the judge for justice, so we also have to kind of pressure God with our prayers. And it's sort of a weird image for God. And for some of us, even the question may seem appropriate. God is nothing like an unjust judge, we quickly say. What do we make then of this parable? So I want to explore, thanks to David Luce, three different ways that we can hear this parable today. Perhaps the easiest interpretive road is to correct our faulty understanding of the comparison between the unjust judge and God. The point of the parable is not that God is like an unjust judge who will eventually relent to the persistent petitions of the widow. Rather, the whole rhetorical force of the parable mirrors Jesus' earlier instruction about prayer. If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And we might read today's comparison similarly. If even the most unjust of judges will finally relent to the ceaseless petitions of a defenseless widow, then how much more will God, who, after all, is a good judge, answer your prayers? The focus of this interpretation is on God's goodness and God's eagerness to bless. And therefore, when we are reluctant to address God Almighty with our petitions, this parable is both an invitation and an encouragement that we can pray without ceasing, confident of God's desire to respond. There's a second way to read the parable as well. The second, and sort of a related way, is to give primary attention not only to this sort of little introduction that we had in verse 1, quote, "Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart." But also we can pay attention to the choice of the unjust judge as a major character. He's the one who does most of the speaking in this parable. Might the parable give voice to some of the discouragement of the early believers, whether caused by the delay of Jesus' return or the difficult and unjust circumstances they were enduring? If so, then the parable might be saying, while I know that God seems like an unjust judge, God's actions are just, and God will deliver justice in due time. And now we have a parable that addresses our need for God to act and our feelings when God seems to be absent. Remember that the earliest days of the church, and we can see this in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, they thought that Jesus was coming back soon, like really soon, like on Thursday, okay? Like on Thursday. But the days and weeks and months have dragged on, and the church was being persecuted, and the faithful were dying, either of persecution or in some cases old age. And this was thought to be just the worst trauma for people. Why was Jesus delaying so long? Now, it's hard for us to imagine how difficult it was for them to persevere. And I refer you to the early letters of Paul to read all about it. It was a very, very hard time. It's difficult for us to imagine how hard it was for them to persevere. But we know all about how difficult it is for us to persevere when times are hard for us and when God seems silent or absent. This gospel, the Gospel of Luke, was written down during this time of trial in the life of the church. And perhaps in the midst of that time of trial, when recalling all the stories of Jesus that had been handed down through the oral tradition to that point, maybe in that moment they heard this parable anew, in a way that they had never heard it before. Jesus saying to them, persevere in faith, persevere in prayer, and do not give up. So also we, like the widow, should pray and petition without ceasing and not lose heart, confident that God's justice will in time prevail. But there's a third way to read this passage as well, which is to shift our attention from the judge to the widow. Widows in the ancient world were incredibly vulnerable, regularly listed with the orphans and the aliens as those persons deserving special protection. The fact that this particular widow must beseech the judge unattended by any family highlights her extreme vulnerability. Yet, she not only beseeches the judge, but she persists in her pleas for justice to the point of creating sufficient pressure to influence his actions. The focus of this reading is on the judge's description of his own motivation for settling the widow's claim. When he explains why he gives in, he says, "I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." Okay, that is the polite way to put it. What it actually says is, this woman is giving me a black eye. This woman is giving me a black eye. This is not a portrait of a vulnerable, disempowered widow. The Gospel of Luke mentions a whole number of widows in the ministry of Jesus. And in addition to being vulnerable, these widows also appear as prophetic, active, and faithful. Certainly the widow who gives her last 2 pennies to the temple is not only vulnerable, but Jesus looks at her and turns that moment into a model of faithful generosity. The first widow of the Gospel of Luke is Anna, a prophet who spreads the good news of Jesus' birth. Jesus, in his inaugural sermon at Nazareth, mentions the widow at Zarephath, so that's from Isaiah. She feeds Elijah from her meager supplies in a famine, and her son is returned to life by a prophet. And that's the same act that Jesus repeats in raising the only son of the widow of Nain. All of these stories about widows only appear in the Gospel of Luke, including the widow of our current parable, who is persistent, active, and forceful enough to get the justice she demands from an utterly unjust judge in an utterly imbalanced system. And she is finally, by the end of the parable, by implication, included in the chosen ones of God. So that's a different way to read the parable. And read this way, this parable serves to encourage those who are suffering injustice to continue their complaints and calls for justice, no matter what the power imbalance might be. Jesus encourages anyone who is crying out for justice and not being heard. God, the Bible has persistently insisted, gives special attention to those who are most vulnerable. And therefore, we should persist in our complaints for justice, even to the point of embarrassing the powers that be in order to induce change. So, if when you pray, you feel ashamed or embarrassed or held back to bring your petitions before God, then this parable speaks a word of invitation to you. Do not hold back. Open your heart and trust God to receive all that you need to say. God will not wish you silent. And if you find yourself losing hope about whether God is even out there, or if you're feeling discouraged by what seems to be God's silence in the midst of your troubles, then this parable speaks to you a word of comfort and encouragement not to lose heart. And a word for me, persevere in faith and keep watch for God and turn to your brothers and sisters in Christ for encouragement. And if when you look around at the world, it seems injustice is flourishing and the kingdom of God seems further and further distant, this parable speaks to you a word of affirmation that relentless struggle will not be in vain. Righteousness and justice and virtue and love will always be worth fighting for, will always be worth pursuing, even when the light seems to flicker like a tea light in a sea of darkness. Even then, God is not dismayed. Even on the cross, Jesus persevered and did not lose hope. Day after day, this widow strove for justice. And we too are called to believe that a better world is possible, and to work for it relentlessly. And in those pinpricks of light, in those little cobwebs, the cobwebs of connection around our lives, we will find God's steadfast love triumphing one small moment at a time. Amen.